Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Shelf Drilling Q2 2020 Earnings Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the speaker presentation, there will be a question-and-answer session. To ask a question during the session, you will need to press star and 1 on your telephone. I must advise that this conference is being recorded today, Thursday, 13th of August, 2020. I would now like to hand the conference over to the first speaker today, David Mullen. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator, and welcome everyone to the Shelf Drilling Q2 2020 Earnings Call. Joining me on the call today is Greg O'Brien, Shelf Drilling CFO. Earlier this morning, we published the Shelf Drilling Limited financial statements for Q2 2020, as well as our latest fleet status report on the investor relations page of our company website. In addition to our press release and the financial statements, we also published a short presentation with highlights from the first quarter of 2020. A recording of this call will be made available on our website within the next few days. Before we begin, let me remind everyone that our call will contain forward-looking statements. Except for statements of historical facts, all statements that address our outlook for 2020 and beyond, activities, events, or developments that we expect, estimate, project, believe, or anticipate may or will occur in the future are forward-looking statements. Forward-looking statements involve substantial risks and uncertainties that could significantly affect expected results. Actual future results could differ materially from those described in such statements. Also note that we may use non-GAAP financial measures in the call today. If we do, you will find supplemental disclosures for these measures and an associated reconciliation in our financial reports. I will provide an overview of the company's performance for Q2 2020, share my latest views on the outlook for the jack-up market. I will then hand over to Greg to walk you through the financials before we open up the floor for question and answers. As always, I would like to start the commentary on our earnings call with our safety performance. I'm pleased to report that we had zero recordable safety incidents in the past quarter. The total recordable incident rate was 0.28 as of 30th of June 2020, which is a considerable improvement from the 0.53 at the end of the first quarter. The results in the second quarter are all the more remarkable given the challenges resulting from the COVID-19 pandemic. Extended time offshore combined with inability of our shore-based management to visit the rigs are two of the most significant challenges we face. During these challenging times, our offshore and onshore teams have continued to demonstrate extreme resilience and commitment while making extraordinary sacrifices to ensure continuity of our operations. The improvement in our safety performance is a direct reflection of their hard work and commitment, and I would like to thank our people around the world for their extraordinary high standard of dedication and solidarity. The fleet-wide uptime was 99.8% for Q2 2020, and the year-to-date uptime as of the end of June 2020 was 99.5%. This is the highest uptime performance we have ever achieved. This remarkable performance is a further demonstration of the quality and effectiveness of our operating platform. The Shelf Drilling Enterprise is undergoing contract preparation in Singapore for the asset retirement project with Chevron in the Gulf of Thailand. The expected commencement has been delayed from August to November 2020 due to the logistical challenges we are facing with personal movement restrictions in Singapore owing to the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. The COVID-19 pandemic has had a profound impact on our business, and in an effort to mitigate the impact, we have focused our attention on three near-term objectives. Firstly, protect our employees, keep our rigs and operations free from the COVID-19 virus. Secondly, ensure business continuity on all of our operating rigs. And finally, reduce cost and improve liquidity. To ensure safety of our people, we have continued to work closely with our customers in implementing our location-specific coronavirus disease protocol and building awareness of preventive and mitigating measures on all of our rigs. We also implemented strict quarantine and testing measures for all personnel traveling to and from our rigs. Most of our shore-based employees have continued to work remotely thanks to our well-established IT infrastructure and fit-for-purpose ERP and other systems. As a result of these combined actions, we've had minimal business disruption on any of our offshore rigs. In order to improve our cash position and liquidity, we implemented significant cost containment measures across our corporate G&A, field offices, and offshore rigs that more than offset any incremental cost in mitigating the impact of the COVID-19 on our operations. The incremental cost of mitigating COVID-19 was approximately $7 million, which includes special charter flights, extended offshore time for our offshore crews, extra personnel time and accommodation costs associated with quarantine measures, and costs associated with testing and additional protective equipment. We delivered strong financial performance for the second quarter of 2020 with an adjusted EBITDA margin of 40% and solid operating cash flows. Total revenue for the quarter decreased by approximately 14.5% on a sequential basis, from $181 million in quarter 1, 20 to $155 million in quarter 2, 2020. The decrease in revenue quarter over quarter was due to a combination of lower day rates and a decrease in effective utilization. Adjusted EBITDA for quarter 2, 2020 was $61.5 million compared to $67.6 million in quarter 1, 2020. The adjusted EBITDA margin of 40% for quarter 2, 2020 increased from 37% in quarter 1, 2020. Despite the significant reduction in revenue. Our cash position improved sequentially by $23 million to $92 million at the end of quarter two. Greg will provide you more details on our quarter two financials. The macro backdrop has been extremely challenging. In April 2020, Brent crude oil prices fell sharply to new multi-year lows following significant declines in global oil and demand, and economic instability resulting from the COVID-19 pandemic. Prices fell to approximately $20 a barrel during April before recovering to approximately $40 a barrel in mid-June into early August. Although the current price is well below the recent year's averages and well below the levels necessary to support improvement in utilization and day rates, while we have seen a gradual reopening of economies and lifting of lockdowns in some countries, the recovery has been slow, and the resulting increase in infection rates could indicate the start of a second outbreak of the virus in previously affected areas. Therefore, demand for oil and gas is likely to remain depressed in the short to medium term. This demand destruction has led to significant reductions in capital spending for all of our customers. Consequently, the offshore jack-up market outlook has substantially deteriorated since the beginning of 2020, and we have seen a number of contract terminations and suspensions since the onset of this COVID-19 pandemic. The total number of contracted jack-up rigs decreased from 386 rigs in March 2020 to 362 rigs in July 2020. And the global market utilization fell from 87% to 82% during the same period. New tendering and contracting activity has slowed significantly in recent months. We expect global jack-up rig count to further decline in the second half of 2020. We continue to see contract terminations, suspensions, and day rate negotiation as both national and international oil companies look to further reduce their capital spend programs for 2020 and 2021. The past quarter and subsequently, we have seen the following amendments to our contracts. The Highland 4 received a notice of suspension of operations at zero-day rate for a period of up to 12 months, beginning in late June 2020 from Saudi Aramco. The contract term for the rig will be extended by a period equal to the suspension period. We have executed temporary day rate discounts beginning April 2020 for Saudi Aramco and ADNOC drilling contracts. The Trident 16 received early termination notices from Petrobel working offshore Egypt. The contract end date for the rig has been brought forward to August 2020 from February 2021. Petrobel subsequently rescinded the termination notice and the rig is now contracted on a call-out basis until February 21. The Key Singapore returned to E&I operations in June 2020 following a suspension period initiated in April 2020. The Key Manhattan, also working for E&I, is expected to remain on suspension at a reduced rate through year-end 2020. AMNI issued a notice of early termination on Trident 8, whereby the end date of the contract was changed to July from October 2020. The rig is now available. The Total contract with the Baltic in Nigeria remains in effect. However, the rig is currently suspended on zero rates. As of the 30th of June, our contracted backlog was $1.6 billion, with 30 of our 33 marketable jack-up rigs representing a 91% utilization across our marketed fleet. Since that time, two of our rigs in Nigeria have completed their contracts, the Trident 14 with ExxonMobil and the Trident 8 with AMNI. We continue to see some marketing opportunities in our geography for rigs coming off contract. We do expect that we will experience continued pressure on day rates and lower rig utilization for the near to medium term. However, we remain confident that our customer relationships, our safe and efficient operating platform, and quality and dedication of our people will continue to make Shelf Drilling the international jack-up contractor of choice. I will now hand it over to Greg, who will walk you through the financials.
Thanks, David. Revenue for Q2 2020 of $155 million included $145 million of day rate revenue, $7 million of mobilization, bonus, and termination revenue, and $3 million of recharges and other revenue. Revenue for Q2 decreased by $26 million, or 15%, relative to Q1, primarily due to two contract completions, plus certain suspensions and day rate renegotiations as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic and the significant drop in oil price. In Nigeria, revenue decreased by $11 million sequentially, mainly following the contract completion in early April of the Shelf Drilling Resourceful. In the Mediterranean, revenue dropped by $7 million due to the suspension of the Key Singapore for 2 months in Tunisia and the Key Manhattan in Italy for the entire quarter. In the Middle East, revenue decreased by $8 million, primarily due to a negotiated reduction of operating rates on rigs in Saudi. In addition, the Shelf Drilling Tenacious and Shelf Drilling Mentor remain on standby until completion of their contracts in September and October, respectively. Average day rate fell to $58,000 per day in Q2 from $64,000 per day in Q1, and effective utilization for our marketable fleet of 33 rigs decreased from 92% in Q1 to 84% in Q2. Operating and maintenance expenses of $83 million in Q2 were $18 million or 18% lower than in Q1 2020. The sequential decrease was driven by an immediate reduction in costs on all rigs which had been suspended or which completed their contracts during Q2, as well as the other actions taken by the company to offset reductions in day rates and activity. Operating costs fell across all categories and locations in Q2. Our shore-based costs decreased to $8.3 million in Q2 from $10.6 million in Q1. G&A expenses were $12.1 million in Q2, down from $13.3 million in Q1 2020. This included one-time restructuring costs of $1.5 million, as well as $2.3 million in provision for doubtful accounts in Q2. The balance of our G&A expenses of $8.3 million was down sharply from Q1 due to the range of cost-saving and restructuring measures implemented at our corporate office in April 2020. Adjusted EBITDA was $62 million for the period, representing a margin of 40% compared to $68 million and 37% in the previous quarter. Income tax expense of $3 million in Q2 fell from $8 million in Q1. The year-to-date 2020 tax expense of $10.5 million represents 3.1% of revenue for the period. Net interest expense was $23 million for the quarter, up $1 million compared to Q1, resulting from the issuance in February of $80 million of new senior secured notes due 2024. Non-cash depreciation and amortization expenses totaled $26 million in Q2, down $9 million from Q1, mainly due to the impairment of certain rigs and other long-lived assets recorded in Q1 2020. Net income for the quarter was $8 million. Capital expenditures and deferred costs totaled $26 million in Q2, down from $73 million in Q1. The decrease of $47 million primarily related to the acquisition of the Shelf Drilling Enterprise, which was completed in Q1 for $38 million, as well as lower spending across the rest of the fleet in Q2. Year-to-date through June, we've recorded $61 million of total CapEx on the Enterprise, which leaves approximately $20 million of remaining spend on this rig in 2020 before contract commencement in Q4. Our cash balance as of June 30th was $92 million, $23 million higher than the balance of $69 million at the end of March. The positive cash flow was driven by the significant reduction in operating costs and capital expenditures achieved in recent months. Total borrowings were unchanged from March 31st, and net debt was $931 million at the end of Q2. Total liquidity at the end of the quarter was $248 million. We continue to have ample headroom under our financial covenants in 2020 and full access to our revolving credit facility. Headroom is expected to narrow as EBITDA declines in the coming quarters, and we've initiated discussions with our bank lenders to amend the agreement and ensure we have access to that liquidity into 2021. The global economy and our business continue to be significantly impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic. Our entire team and workforce have responded extremely well to this current crisis. The decisions and actions taken to ensure business continuity, reduce costs, and preserve cash yielded very positive results in Q2, despite the challenging operating environment. While the forward outlook for our industry remains uncertain, our liquidity, backlog, and operational track record position us well in the competitive landscape, and we remain absolutely focused on delivering best-in-class service and performance for our customers. With that, we'd like to open the call for Q&A.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. We got one question on the line from the line of Erwan Kerorigan from Royal Bank of Canada. Your line's open. Please ask your question.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. I've got two, please. One on business climate and another one on liquidity. So on the business climate, it looks like things have improved at least slightly since I would say mid-June with less early termination of contract. Can you first like confirm this and confirm whether this is a sign of like improving market conditions? And I guess a follow-up question is, which region do you still see most at risk of day rate erosion or early terminations? So this is the first question. And the second question is, it looks like on the liquidity front and on the risk of covenant breaching, it looks like things have improved a little bit. I'd like to have your view as to what are the risks of breaching covenants over the next 6 months to 9 months. These are my questions. Thank you.
Okay. I think it's maybe a little bit premature to say the business climate has improved. I think what we are seeing some opportunities. you know, we the region affected most severely was West Africa, where we currently have one rig that's active. But having said that, we see a number of opportunities where rigs could go back to work in quarter four. We continue to see, you know, the Middle East is more impacted than I would have imagined, but that's prompted by Aramco have taken a decision to wind back their activity. They're not canceling contracts. They're looking at ways to suspend contracts because they see this as a temporary measure. But it remains to be seen how long it lasts. In India, we see it more stable. In Southeast Asia, for us, it's a stable activity. We're principally involved in two projects. One is drilling for gas, and the other is asset retirement. And those projects are pretty firm. They're going to continue. With respect to day rates, yes, there has been erosion of day rates. If you look at the headline number, we've seen 10% erosion across the board. That's fairly representative of what you're seeing. I think that covers your question on the business climate and the regions most impacted. I'll pass it over to Greg, who'll talk to you a little bit more about where we are with liquidity and what we see for the coming quarters. But, you know, we had a very good performance on building cash in quarter two. But over to you, Greg.
Yep, sure. Thanks, David. Yeah, so we have one main maintenance financial covenant, which is a consolidated leverage test in our revolver. So it looks at net debt the last 12 months or last four quarters of EBITDA. You know, we've now had three quarters of solid results consecutively, $60-plus million of average EBITDA from Q4 of last year through Q2 of this year. So we have quite a bit of headroom under the test today. That's a 5x test under the revolver in 2020. It's scheduled to step down to 4 in 2021. So we believe we will be, you know, very comfortable through the end of the year with that step down in 2021, a little bit less comfortable. And that's part of the reason we're having discussions proactively now, you know, well in advance of any potential issues. So we think we have, you know, full access to the revolver through the next several quarters, and we're trying to proactively address any potential issue we see in 2021. Not sure if that's helpful context to the point on liquidity.
It is. It confirms my sense I had in terms of risk and basically things improving on that front. Thank you.
Okay.
And your next question comes from the line of Fredrik Stene from Clarksons Platouset. Your line's open. Please ask your question.
Hey, David, Greg. Hope you're well. I have two questions for you today. I think you mentioned during the prepared remarks that you had had rate reductions with Saudi Aramco and ADNOC, and you have the suspension, of course. Could you elaborate a bit on that? Kind of what level should we be, you know, working with? Is it across all the rigs, or are there only a few of them? And do you think that you will be a potential target for more suspensions given their activity level? That's the first part. And the second part is, I guess, a broader question now with at least, you know, many of the U.S. names going through full restructurings. Have you gotten any new thoughts on the M&A market and how you potentially fit into that at the other end of all these restructurings?
Okay, so the first part of your question, we're not disclosing day rate information, so I'm not going to give you too much detail around that. But, you know, what you can take from is, I would say that it's pretty consistent with the step down you see on day rates, which is about 10%. In terms of what Aramco is likely to do going forward. It's a bit hard to read. They're a public company now, and their earnings release was pretty informative in many aspects, but they're committed to that $75 billion dividend distribution, which is clearly an awful lot more than what they're going to generate in terms of free cash flow. So my sense is that Aramco is going to keep a tight lid on the amount of spend, and they're probably going to continue to look at easing their activities. So I wouldn't be surprised if they went through a round of further suspensions through the second half of the year. I don't know if they will or not, but I wouldn't be surprised. We see Aramco as, you know, they see this as a temporary measure. They're not looking to cancel contracts. They're trying to work in a way where they're not picking on any one contractor in particular. They're, as they say it, they're sharing the pain across the companies that work for them. So you can safely assume what happens to one is happening to pretty much all the contractors within Aramco. That's all I can tell you on that. With respect to everybody going through some kind of restructuring, we've seen quite a number of the U.S. Household names. I mean, it's, you know, what everybody does, what everybody else does, I can't really comment too much, but clearly there would be a potential for a degree of consolidation post this restructuring. And I think this will be good for the industry. The industry needs it. The jackups probably need it more than the floaters. Although when you look at the fragmentation of the jackups, it's not, you're not going to see the benefit of consolidation to the same extent as you could, as you will see it in the floater space. But I have no doubt consolidation is inevitable. And, you know, it's a good thing for the industry. There are too many companies out there, and we just need to have fewer companies and fewer assets in the market.
Yeah, thanks. Just a quick follow-up, actually, to the first part. For the, well, let's just assume 10% rate reduction across the line, is there any timeline on that? Is it 1 year, 2 years? Can you give any sort of range we should be working with?
Yeah, it's typically 1 to 2 years. It's not more than 2 years, and it's not less than 1 year.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. That's all for me.
And your next question comes from the line of Kurt Steyer from Aberdeen Standard. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you good.
Great, thanks. Just as I kind of look at, this kind of comes back to the covenant and the credit facility, just trying to get a sense with regards to the enterprise coming online in fourth quarter, can I get a little clarity on the adjustments that are in there as to what rigs they apply to? And I just want to confirm that the enterprise contribution to EBITDA, that'll start playing out in fourth quarter. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So sorry, Dave.
Yeah, go ahead, Greg. Go ahead.
Yeah, so the rig obviously hasn't started yet. So there's no revenue or EBITDA contribution through June. Will be the same in September. In our fleet status report we published this morning, we showed an updated commencement in November. That's the estimate to date. But under our revolver, we're able to add 12 months of estimated forward EBITDA for rigs that we've acquired, included in the collateral package, and have contracts in place. So we announced the economics of that contract earlier in the year. That was about $17 or $18 million of estimated EBITDA on an annualized basis. So that's included in our EBITDA figure for revolver purposes. So we, in a way, have the benefit of that for our leverage test today, even though the rig hasn't started yet. But we'll start to build the actual contribution from that rig and contract before the end of 2020. Two other rigs, the Scepter and the Achiever, that we had acquired in prior years, started new multi-year contracts at the end of 2019. So through June, we now have six or seven months of operations on both of those rigs. So we have another half year of earnings contribution that's a, you know, pro forma credit until we have a full year under our belt, so to speak, on those two rigs. So that's the lion's share of the difference between our reported EBITDA numbers and what we report for compliance purposes. So our LTM was 217 at the end of June. The figure for revolver purposes was a little north of 260. So those forward credits are the main driver, but there are a couple of other sort of one-off and non-cash expenses that are permitted add-backs under the agreement, like our share-based compensation expense. We don't adjust out for reporting purposes, but that's a permitted add-back under our revolver. There are a few other items as well. So that gap should narrow over the course of the next couple of quarters as the acquired rigs, you know, enter service and build up trailing history and earnings, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yes. Thank you. And I guess one last question. Just trying to get a sense of your capital spending for the balance of the year. How should we see that play? Clearly, you have $20 million left for the enterprise. Just curious what else you have out there and maintenance levels.
Sure. Yeah, that's exactly right. So you have about $20 million left on the enterprise. There's nothing else in terms of growth spend or rig acquisition. So that is the balance in expected in that line item. In terms of, you know, maintenance spending or CapEx across the rest of the business, we were just over $30 million through the first two quarters, which implies about a $60 million annualized level. You know, we've historically talked about sort of 75 to 90 as the right annual level, but given the current environment, we've been trying to find ways to move that lower. I'd expect the run rate in the second half of the year to be a bit higher than the first half of the year, given that we have a couple of out-of-service projects scheduled with Aramco to start late in 2019. So, you know, somewhere kind of 65 to 75 on a full-year basis probably feels like the right outcome for 2020. So a bit of a step up relative to run rate first half of the year.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate the answers and your time. Thank you.
And your next question comes from the line of Taran Miller from Cantor. Your line's open. Please ask your question.
Good afternoon. Just two quick questions. Number one is there any option for an equity cure as part of the covenant test? And number two, has there been any discussion with your non-institutional equity holders about any kind of equity infusion?
Sorry, I didn't get the first part of the question.
Is there any opportunity for an equity cure as part of the maintenance coverage test under the bank facility?
Yeah, I mean, David, I can take that one. I mean, technically, yes, sure. I mean, if we were to have a covenant breach where our net, you know, net leverage was higher than the covenant level, the way to cure that would be to have additional equity come into the business. So, yeah, I mean, that is an option if we got to the point that we had a covenant breach that we needed to cure in some form, and we weren't able to agree to an amendment or waiver in some form. Yes, that's technically an option.
Thank you. And the second question?
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, sure, please press star and one.
I didn't really get the second question. Greg, did you get it?
Yeah, I mean, the second question was whether there have been any discussions with you know, existing or other investors about new equity. I mean, look, there's nothing. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, we have nothing really to say on it other than we're always having discussions around that. So I've got nothing specific to say on that.
Okay, thank you.
Next question comes from the line of Kurt Starr from Aberdeen Stardar. Your line's open. Please ask your question.
Thanks, guys. Just one quick follow-up there. Just, it looked like there were some changes on your board. Just curious if there's any implications there or long-term thoughts on that, or, you know, changes among your equity holders.
No, I mean, this is just reflecting some management changes within the China Merchants Fund group, but no, there's no change with respect to holdings or ownership in that regard. It's just people got changed out, and two people resigned and two people joined.
All right, thank you. Appreciate the answer.
There are no further questions at this time. Please continue.
Now, if we have no further questions, thank you very much for attending our call. Look forward to catching up in the next quarter. Thank you very much.
And that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.